There's been a bit of an unspoken competition, Jonas says. Nothing would make me more proud than if our dogs became more famous than us. Next, Neil Patrick Harris, 47, and David Burka, 45, with Gidget and Spike. The couple's two-pet household, in addition to twins Gideon and Harper, 10, has been a boon for the family during quarantine. Having these sweet dogs that are able to cuddle with you and give you unconditional love is important, says Harris, who just released his children's book, The Magic Misfits, The Fourth Suit, and his game, Box One. It's no wonder the doggy duo, both rescue mutts, have more than 7,000 followers combined on Instagram. Gidget is a bit of a show dog. She can dance, shake, and roll over, Burke explains. Just don't expect the same from Spike. He can sit and poop in the house, says Burke, adds Harris. Yeah, he loves to do that. Next is Harry Connick Jr., 53, with Tuca. At Tuca Graham. The musician and actor fostered Tuca after featuring the Sato Project, which rescues dogs in Puerto Rico, on his talk show, Harry, in 2017. I didn't realize I was going to fall in love with her, he says. Tuca has a very calming, therapeutic nature about her. She'll go up to anybody. Connick was inspired to create Tuca's Instagram account, which now boasts more than 16,000 followers, when she hammed it up for the camera during a trip to Mardi Gras as a pup. Tuca has to follow only one rule: no jumping up on the Connick family's couches or beds. Jill doesn't really like that, Connick says, of his wife of 26 years, Jill Goodacre, and I do whatever Jill tells me. That's why we've had such a successful marriage. Cats are insta-famous, too. These felines and their sexy celeb owners prove they're just as worthy of social media stardom. First is Ed Sheeran with Calipo at the Wibbles. In 2018, the singer, 29, set up an Instagram account for his two cats, Dorito and Calipo, which now has 316 followers. Keegan Allen with TYN, 10, at Tin the Cat. The Pretty Little Liars alum, 31, who pronounces his cat's name T-I-N, runs Tin's account with more than 39,000 followers on Instagram. Ricky Gervais with Pickle, at Pickalicious F, not capital F. After the death of his beloved Ollie in March, the actor, comedian, 59, now has Pickle, who already has more than 28,000 followers on Twitter. Bobby Flay with Nacho, at Nacho Flay. The chef, 55, is besotted with his feline, fluffy, orange, mane coon cat, who is often joined by his feline sister, Stella, on his own Instagram account, which boasts 212,000 followers. Cutest baby alive. Wyatt Cooper, 7 months. CNN anchor Anderson Cooper's sweet son, Wyatt. On April 30th, Anderson Cooper announced that he had welcomed son Wyatt Morgan Cooper via surrogate 3 days prior. Fatherhood is unlike anything I've experienced, and yet it's also very familiar and incredibly special, the journalist, 53, said. Cooper later admitted he's often overwhelmed with emotion these days. I cry at things I've never cried at before. As we look at lovely Wyatt, it's easy to see why. He's a chubby little baby. He's got bright blue eyes. Since becoming a father, Cooper, who is raising Wyatt with his ex, Benjamin Masani, 47, has reached a new level of love. They may be tiny, but Wyatt is already buddies with Ben Cohen, the son of Anderson's pal, Andy Cohen. Oh, he's got a cute little boy, too. He's sweet and soft and healthy, and I am beyond happy, Cooper wrote on Instagram. It feels like my life has actually begun, Cooper said. There shows him in a pool. He's holding him. All smiles. He's such a happy baby, even though he has started teething, Cooper reported of his seven-month-old. And the last photo, Sleeping Beauty. According to his dad, Wyatt loves naps, milk, baths, and reading time. And it shows him holding him, and he's yawning. His middle name, Morgan, is from Cooper's mom, Gloria Vanderbilt's side. In Scoop, healing on Grey's Anatomy. Inside Patrick Dempsey's surprise return. And it shows him and Ellen Pompeo on the beach. Patrick Dempsey and Ellen Pompeo's emotional reunion on the Grey set felt like summer camp with masks and social distancing, of course, says Kevin McKidd. It shows a photo currently of Patrick and Ellen Pompeo. And then another photo shows them from 2006. After 15 years, Grey's Anatomy still knows how to shock fans. On November 12th, the ABC Medical Drama's Season 17 premiere concluded with a dream sequence featuring the return of Patrick Dempsey as Dr. Derek McDreamy Shepherd and his reunion with Ellen Pompeo's Meredith Grey, more than 5 years after Shepherd's sudden death. It was my job to find a way, once we determined that we were doing the pandemic, to also bring joy and escape and fan candy, showrunner and executive producer Krista Vernoff told Deadline. Pompeo herself asked Dempsey to come back. We knew that coming together would be a little ray of light. Patrick Dempsey, 54, and Pompeo, 51, admitted to Deadline that they hadn't spoken in a while, but that their reunion was both very healing and rewarding. The show has gone through more than its share of behind-the-scenes drama. The first 10 years, we had serious culture issues, very bad behavior, really toxic work environment, Pompeo told Variety last year. Now the whole atmosphere has changed, said Dempsey, whose abrupt departure in 2015 fanned rumors of discord. Culturally, there was a lot of things that were different that I thought were very positive and very inspiring. Co-star Kevin McKidd, who plays Owen Hunt and directs episode 3 this season, says adjusting to new safety protocols because of COVID-19 has further unified the cast. You can feel this shared love and honor between us even more than usual, he tells People. As for the future of the series, Pompeo has said this season very well could be its last. And McKidd hints that Dempsey's return for at least 3 more episodes may be a clue to what lies ahead. Seeing an ill Meredith have these waking dreams where she connects with the love of her life is fitting and cathartic for everyone, for the fans especially, he says. Mirror and Dare were the core relationship of our show for many years, and it feels like the timing is perfect for real closure. So will any other past characters, dead or alive, be stopping by Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital? Executive producers Andy Reeser and Meg Marinas tell People, wonderful and completely surprising things are absolutely possible. One of the stars that was on there was Sandra Oh. Since Christina Yang's 2014 move to Zurich, Oh has starred on 3 seasons of BBC's America's Killing Eve. Justin Chambers. In January, Chambers, also known as Alex Karev, left the show after 16 seasons to diversify his career. Katherine Heigl. Heigl abruptly said goodbye to her character, Izzy Stevens, in 2010. Next up, Firefly Lane on Netflix in 2021. T.R. Knight. After George O'Malley's shocking death in season 5, Knight headed to Broadway. He and Pompeo remain close. In this week's Heart Monitor section of Scoop, surprise split, Olivia Wilde and Jason Sudeikis. The actress, director, and the former Saturday Night Live star have called it quits after 9 years together. The split happened at the beginning of the year, says a source close to the couple, who are parents to son Otis, 6, and daughter Daisy, 4. It's been amicable, and they've transitioned into a great co-parenting routine. The children are the priority. Wilde, 36, and Sudeikis, 45, met at an SNL party in 2011 and got engaged in 2012, but never wed. The breakup news came as a surprise, as the pair were just photographed enjoying a Malibu beach day in September. They have spent the whole lockdown in LA together, adds an insider. They seem very focused on creating the best situation for their kids. Engaged, Ryan Cabrera and Alexa Bliss. After a year of dating, the On the Way Down singer, 38, proposed to WWE star Bliss, 29, on November 14th. It's just the beginning, he announced on Instagram. Cabrera previously dated Ashley Simpson and Audrina Patridge. Happy anniversary to Michelle Pfeiffer and David E. Kelly. My one and only for 27 years, the Oscar-nominated actress, 62, posted November 13th, marking her anniversary with her writer-producer husband, 64. The pair wed in 1993 and have two children, daughter Claudia, 27, and son John, 26. Dating, Kristen Cavallari and Jeff Dye, first linked in October, The Hills alum 33 and the comedian 37, had been on several dates, per a court source. But another insider says Cavallari, who announced her separation from husband Jay Cutler in April, is just having fun, adding it's nothing serious yet. Britney Spears' battle with her dad continues. Shows a photo of her, a complicated relationship. It's a sad situation, a source says, of Britney's ongoing conservatorship battle with dad Jamie. Britney Spears has faced another setback in her bid to end her father's ongoing conservatorship. During a public hearing on November 10th, a judge declined the 38-year-old pop star's request to suspend her father, Jamie, from his role as her conservator, which has allowed him to oversee her finances and physical and mental health for the past 12 years. Britney's attorney, Samuel D. Ingham III, told the judge that she is afraid of her father, adding that Britney, who has been on an indefinite work hiatus since January 2019, will not perform again if her father is in charge of her career. Jamie's attorney, Vivian Lee Thurene, said there are no grounds to suspend him. A source close to Britney says the singer has not had any contact with Jamie, 68, since last year, after he had an alleged physical altercation with her 15-year-old son, Sean Preston, whom she shares with ex-husband Kevin Federline, along with son Jaden James, 14. Britney has had issues with her dad for a long time, the source says. She feels like he has no respect for her wishes. According to the source, Britney's mom, Lynn, 65, divorced from Jamie since 2002 and still close to Britney, has asked the court to let her be more involved. Jamie has said he continues to act in Britney's best interest and told the New York Post, "The world don't have a clue about the family situation. I love my daughter." With the next hearing on December 16th, the judge said she would consider future petitions for his suspension or removal. Britney's situation is very complex, the source says, but Lynn agrees there needs to be a change. Amid the ongoing court dispute, Britney packed her bags for Hawaii to enjoy a vacation with boyfriend Sam Kauai on the island of Maui. Felt like a little trip to paradise for an early birthday celebration. Brittany, who turns 39 on December 2nd, captioned a November 16th Instagram for herself and model S. Gary, 26, standing in front of a private jet. On November 14th, the couple had a romantic oceanside dinner of fresh farm-to-table cuisine at the Kapalua Resort in the town of Lahaina. Brittany was wearing Daisy Duke shorts and half tops as an onlooker. She seemed to be having a nice dinner. The pair returned home to Los Angeles the next day. In Passages, there's a photo of Wyatt Russell and Meredith Hagner. Babies column. Actor Ryan Hutt Russell, 34, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell's son, and his actress wife, Meredith Hagner, 33, are expecting their first child. Wyatt's sister, Kate Hudson, congratulated the pair on Instagram, posting a photo from their baby shower and writing, "We are over the moon and can't wait." Bachelor in Paradise alums Jade Roper Tolbert and Tanner Tolbert, both 33, welcomed their third child, a son. The couple also share daughter Emerson, 3, and son Brooks, 15 months. Engaged, Justin Duggar, 18, the 14th of 19 children in the Counting On family, is engaged to Claire Spivey, 19, the daughter of family friends. The two announced their courtship in September. Health. Today show co-host Al Roker, 66, announced he was back home after having surgery to treat his prostate cancer. Singer Christina Perry, 34, revealed the baby she's expecting will need surgery after birth because of intestinal problems. Perry and husband Paul Constable also have a daughter, Carmella, 2. In the deaths column, Lucille Bridges, a civil rights hero who pushed for her daughter Ruby Bridges to attend a formerly all-white school in New Orleans and accompanied her past protesters, died at 86. Today our country lost a hero. She helped alter the course of so many lives by setting me out on my path as a six-year-old little girl, Ruby 66 wrote on Instagram. Country singer Doug Supernaw, known for his 1993 hit, I Don't Call Him Daddy, died of lung and bladder cancer. He was 60. Ken Spears, a co-creator of Scooby-Doo, died from complications of Lewy body dementia. He was 82. Birthdays, Ben Stiller, 55. Tina Turner will turn 81, and Anna Faris will turn 44. This next article is a story about John Belushi and tribute, The Private World of a Comedy Legend. Nearly four decades after the groundbreaking actor's tragic death at age 33, those closest to him open up about the legacy he left behind. Shows a photo of him sitting in a director's chair with his name on the back. John held on to his vision and he never compromised, says his brother, actor Jim Belushi. He was deeply connected to his work. It was a beautiful thing. John was funny, says Jim, and he stayed authentic. He didn't sell out. Another photo of the two brothers. John with his wife, Judy, and with Jim, his brother. Jim Belushi has a special ritual he repeats every time he steps on stage with Dan Aykroyd as one half of the Blues Brothers, a role he inherited from his late brother, comic actor John Belushi. I put my head down and I bring John to my mind, says Jim. The tragedy of losing him is a common tragedy, but there will only ever be one John Belushi talent. Even though it's been decades since John, remembered for his role in 1978's Animal House and as part of the original cast of Saturday Night Live, died after a tragic overdose in 1982, his legacy lives on. John wasn't perfect, but he was a full human being, says Judy Belushi Pisano, 69, John's wife and high school sweetheart. He touched a chord. John not only made people laugh, but he made them feel. Now in Belushi, a new documentary premiering November 22nd on Showtime. Judy shares numerous letters, both romantic and chilling, John wrote to her, and fans can hear previously unreleased audio from 1985 of Jim, Judy, and the late actors, other family members, and co-stars as they open up about their beloved brother, husband, and friend, and celebrate the indelible work he left behind. John's captured the hearts of America, says Jim, 66. He did it over and over again, and those feelings never leave. And it shows him as a little boy. Unlike our dad, John could talk a lot, says Jim, of his older brother. Picture was taken about 1955. He's wearing a bow tie. He's really a cute little boy. John could talk a lot, says Jim, of his older brother. He was also gentle and gave me advice when I needed it. High school star, a skilled middle linebacker on the football team, John, the photo taken in 1967, also did theater and was homecoming king. I always thought he was so talented, recalls his wife Judy. He always did well. On the rise, John performed over the airwaves on National Lampoon's Radio Hour in 1974. Nightlife legend. John with his fellow Not Ready for Primetime players on SNL in 1977. Shows Garrett Morris, Bill Murray, Gilda Radner, Lorraine Newman, Jane Curtin, and Dan Aykroyd. He was a troublemaker as John Bluto Blutarski in Animal House in 1978. John had few lines, relying on his innate physicality for laughs. Music Man. Following 1980's Blues Brother film, he and Aykroyd toured as Elwood and Jake Blues and released a third album. Born and raised in quiet Chicago suburb of Wheaton, Illinois, John was one of four children born to Adam, an immigrant from Albania, who ran a restaurant, and Agnes, an aspiring actress. I think he had his own shape from birth, says Jim, who was 5 years younger than John. He was sweet, like our dad, and he got the hustle from my mom. John's predilection for comedy was apparent early on. We sat in the kitchen with a phonograph player, listening to Bob Newhart and Jonathan Winters, says Jim. They released endorphins and made us feel good, and John wanted to pass that on. By high school, John had a presence, says Judy, who started dating him in 1966, when he was a senior and she was 15. They married in 1976. Even young, he was talking about what he wanted to do. When he went off to college, he said, "You should probably break up with me because I want to be an actor, and I'll probably never make any money, and you'll have to support us." But I always thought he'd do well. John started his own comedy troupe in Chicago before joining the famed Second City Improv Group in 1971. 4 years later, he was offered a role in Lorne Michaels' upcoming late-night comedy sketch show in New York City, eventually called Saturday Night Live. There was a closeness to the cast, says Judy, of John's co-stars, including Dan Aykroyd and Gilda Radner. Says Jim, they respected John's talent, and because of that, he was able to manifest more of his vision. In 1978, after developing popular SNL characters like Samurai and Jake Blues alongside Aykroyd, John landed the role of Bluto, the quintessential college frat boy, in National Lampoon's Animal House. The movie was a smash hit, with John's performance ushering in a new era of inventive and boundary-pushing comedy. His reaction to the subsequent fame was mixed, recalls Judy. He enjoyed it, but also people didn't see him as a real person somehow. Everybody thought they had a crazy friend like him. And you can't turn that off. As John Starr continued to rise, his struggles with drug and alcohol deepened. There were different phases with different drugs, says Judy. John was always the guy who went a little far, who wanted to stay too long at the party. But it seemed okay. Until at some point he got into cocaine, and that's not sustainable. People began to get concerned. Jim believes John's drug use may have been a matter of self-preservation. He played football. I know he had damage to the brain, Jim said on an episode of his Discovery show, Growing Belushi. As soon as alcohol and drugs were available to him, I think he went right to them as medication. After exhibiting erratic behavior and drug use on SNL set, John was fired and rehired before eventually leaving for good in 1979 after four seasons on the show. Still, with the release of the Blues Brothers movie in 1980, John seemed primed for continued success. Sadly, things began to get out of hand, says Judy, who suggested John go to rehab only to be rebuffed. We called it the spin cycle. Those close to him worried, but he always found other people to hang with during those times. And that's kind of what happened in the end. I'm out of time. I hope you've enjoyed this week's People Magazine, and I hope you're taking care of yourselves, and I hope you have a very, very blessed, happy Thanksgiving, and I hope you'll come back and listen again next week. Thanks for listening. This is Joanne Seiler from Mind's Eye.
Starting Monday on the Noon Book Hour, we kick off our series of holiday books with Agatha Christie's Hercule Poirot's Christmas. In Hercule Poirot's Christmas, the holidays are anything but merry when a family reunion is marred by murder, and the notoriously fastidious investigator is quickly on the case. Christmas Eve and the Lee family's reunion is shattered by a deafening crash of furniture and a high-pitched wailing scream. Upstairs, the tyrannical Simeon Lee lies dead in a pool of blood, his throat slashed. When Hercule Poirot offers to assist, he finds an atmosphere not of mourning, but of mutual suspicion. It seems everyone had their own reason to hate the old man. Hercule Poirot's Christmas by Agatha Christie, starting Monday at noon and Tuesday at 2 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening. As we celebrate Thanksgiving, Recording Library of West Texas Radio is bringing you a special selection of iconic audio-described movies. Tonight at midnight, our movies continue with Apocalypse Now. And tomorrow afternoon, our regular Saturday Night Weekly movie begins earlier at 5 p.m. with the classic Gone with the Wind. Sunday night at 6:30, it's Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump. Finally, Monday morning at 8, Gene Kelly stars in Singin' in the Rain. We hope you enjoy our audio-described iconic movies all weekend from Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 47 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the low 50s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 30s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Because our regularly scheduled program was not available at broadcast time, we bring you the following special presentation.
Hello, this is Ed Reedy from the Talking Information Center with the Friday, November 20th reading of Newsweek magazine. From the cover, Donald Trump has 70 days to undermine Joe Biden, even if he eventually concedes, by Steve Fries. 2 weeks before Election Day, President Donald Trump startled official Washington with an executive order that could unravel the country's 140-year-old civil service system. The White House insisted the move which makes it easier to fire government lawyers, scientists, and other employees in policy-making positions by putting them in a new classification, was designed to remove incompetent people who are protected under current rules. But outraged observers in and outside the